Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
So tonight, I just want to kind of unpack something that God was just impressing upon me in the time of worship. And I think Richard mentioned it. I think it was Richard. And that was this story. Do you remember the story of Jeremiah in the potter's shed? And he's kind of gets his image of... Okay. So, it's this. Our life, your life, my life, we may be feeling as if kind of the world or someone's got a grip of it a little bit and having a bit of a go. And maybe there's a little bit of ouch, maybe there's a bit of squeeze, maybe there's a bit of shaping going on. And maybe we experienced that before, maybe we're experiencing it for the first time. But either way, I just want to communicate what I perceive God was saying to me, and that's this. It's not just that God wants to physically change our lives, and he wants to do that, and we heard that this evening. But actually, as he's doing it, he's speaking. He's not just sat on the wheel, and there's a bit of clay going around, wibbly wobbly, wibbly wobbly, and his hands are having a go. But he's actually speaking what he's doing. But actually, what I was perceiving is more than that, is he was saying things like this. And I can hear this voice in my head, and I'm not... funny, I could just perceive this. Is God was saying, okay, that sickness might be telling you that you have to walk like this or look like that, but I'm going to heal you. So God is talking to the clay. In another moment after that, it was like God wasn't just changing a little bit of misshaping because kind of the world's had a bit of a go and it's trying to take some lumps out of our life. God was saying, the world, you can try as much as you like, but I'm going to make this person whole. I'm going to make this person well. You can give it your best shot, but actually I've got a better plan for you than the world has. So it wasn't just that God's hands were doing something and it was just silent. But I can actually hear God speaking to the clay and also speaking to the world. Do you understand? Okay, it's not just me. I've just not been eating blue cheese. And it's just a weird thing. I could just see that our lives, yes, they get shaped by God and God begins to change them and shape them and fashion them. But at the same time, he's also praying for us. He's also speaking things about our lives, which everybody hears. I think that's kind of cool. So when we kind of think, okay, it's been a bit of a rubbishy day, what it is it's the world trying to steal joy from us and steal the pleasure of just knowing who Jesus is from us. God doesn't just shape us a little bit, but he's actually saying, I'm going to restore your joy today. I'm going to renew and revive that joy of your salvation. That time when you first knew me, I'm going to restore that. Now that, for me, puts a lot more of God's personality rather than just a process. Oh, it's just God shaping me. Yes, it is, but God's also speaking over my life and he's speaking over yours. God is also declaring his intention over the clay. This is going to be the best vase or the best jug. This is going to be the best whatever there's ever been. But the Bible says that we're trophies of God's grace. I think that's awesome. Sometimes some of this clay, so it just gets jaded, it just gets worn out. Man, I think God is looking for cracked pots, but not crackpots. So tonight, I just want to spend just a few moments talking a little bit about why, because last week it was all about praying in tongues and what that releases, a tremendous kind of message and liberating lots of stuff. But actually, another complementary weapon that we have as clay in whatever world, whatever life we're being revolved around in, and sometimes it's like stop the world and want to get off. And God says, actually, I'm not going to stop it, but I'm going to change you in it. Sometimes we can be thinking, oh my God, what's going on? And God is the one that's going on. He's the one spinning it. It's funny. God loves us too much to let us stay still. He just won't leave us alone. But God was saying to me about this whole speaking over the clay. I'm declaring over the clay what you're going to be like. What color you're going to be like. The strength that you're going to have. The uniqueness that you're going to carry. The price that you're going to generate. Just what I'm saying. There's something about the word. So for example, when you read in your Bible, God thinks you're more than a conqueror. He's talking to the clay in you that doesn't think you are. He's talking to the bit of us that doesn't feel like we're conquering much. It feels like we're being conquered. When we find, actually, I've made you more than a conqueror. It's because God is manipulating us through his hands of love and kindness, but he's also speaking over us his intention. When we read in the Bible, it's by my wounds you are healed. If we're not feeling so good, not only is he dealing with whatever it is that we're struggling with, he's declaring how we're going to live in the future. And I love that relationship, that whole reality, that God doesn't just fiddle with our lives, but he's deliberately working on our lives with intention. We're not here by mistake. We're not here by some accident. We're not here trying to deal with stuff because there's nobody else there that can save us or rescue us. But every time God looks over our lives, he's got a destiny in mind. And a lot of this destiny is written in the Bible. That's why in the Old Testament, the kind of the front end of the Bible, it says, I know the plans I have for you. What kind of plan is that? Well, it's a plan to prosper you. You understand that? So God doesn't just have a plan. It's a particular kind of plan. This is why when we're praying, when we're just talking, which is really what praying is, man, we need to get hold of the word here. Because I believe personally that as we pray the word, we get changed both from the outside in and the inside out. And if you know that that's true. And sometimes we just have to begin to speak out like the clay speaking out, if you like. And begin to speak across the world, actually, man, I'm a happy person. Why? Because God has given me the spirit of joy. How do I know that's true? Because the Bible tells me that's what he's done. So I'm not just going to be a miserable piece of clay, I'm going to be a joy-filled piece of clay. So sometimes the potter is speaking. In fact, I would suggest that all the time the potter is speaking. But sometimes the clay has to speak like the sound of the potter. Otherwise, what we hear is, oh my God, he's saying, oh my child. He's saying, let me go. He's saying, have a go. What we have to, when we begin to pray with the word, our language begins to sound like God's language. Our words begin to sound like God-given words. And this is kind of what I was perceiving this afternoon a little bit. Coming here in the car a little bit, and then this evening is God wants you and me to know nothing happens without God knowing about it. Nothing happens that God hasn't seen, not just the happening, but the next step. Nothing happens which catches God by surprise. It's like, well, I never saw that coming. Because God sees it coming. All I'm saying is, I think the word shows you and me that God doesn't only just see it coming, but he helps us to deal with it when it arrives. Which is why we can find pieces of scripture that says, even when you're weak, my grace is enough. Why does God say that? Because he knows that we're weak. But he also knows his grace is enough. He speaks to the clay and says, it's all right, you just be clay. But you're going to be all right in the end. Just be clay, it's all right, because you're going to be priceless, you're going to be unique, you're going to be a one-off, and you're going to be finished. Because that's what the Bible says about you, and what the Bible says about me. Of course, the greatest miracle that I think the whole humanity has had experienced it, but they just don't know it yet, is this tremendous word that God speaks. The very, very first prayer that there ever was comes out of the book of Genesis, right at the beginning. Everything was shapeless, formless. It was just splodge. There was nothing there. And God spoke. What did he say? He said, let there be light. What does that tell us? It tells us that whenever the word of God is spoken, something can change. Something can happen. Something that had no form or shape can get form and shape. Something that was once dark and just destructive, man, God's light's going to come into it. So that's the creative power of God's word. We read further in the Bible that when God speaks, destinies change, towns change, cities change. Why? Because God's word, it says about God's word, never comes back to God empty. What does that mean? It means every single thing that God's ever thought about you and spoken will never come back empty. Whatever God has considered about your life, and let me tell you, I don't think we'll ever really get to grips with all that God has considered, because it's just so big. But everything that God has considered about Worthing, God has spoken it, and it's not going to come back empty, which is why when we meet together on the 22nd of October to pray, all we're praying is what God has already said. Not what we think God has said. Not what Worthing says about itself, but what does God say about it? When we begin to pray here at 5, before, you know, we're praying for God to move in power. We're not just coming up with some idea, but no, the clay is beginning to sound like the potter. We're not the potter. But man, we want to bring the word of God, the potter's words, into our lives. Hallelujah. When we're looking at over our workplace, I mean, I work in an extremely odd place. It's odd. It's odd. I mean, you think, you know, you work for the church. Yeah, but there's still people in it. And there's still stuff going on. And there's still bits of clay being changed and shaped. So God isn't any more or any less God working for the church than he is when you're not. We're all working for the church. Aren't we? Well, that's what the word says. We are one body. So you're all working for the church. Hallelujah. When we get together, it's like, oh, we want these guys to have a great time. We want them to reach their destiny. So I think part of praying the word and why the word is so powerful is primarily is because it's creative. It's God's word. It's not our word. I think secondly, when you begin to speak God's word, not only does it create expectation in your own life, but also everybody else that hears you. Which is why in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, there are 54 one another's. Love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. Why? Because God is saying you can't make all of this work without somebody else in the room. Which is what also says, pray for one another. Do you understand that? So God, when he's looking at the clay, is saying, yeah, I'm going to work on you, but I'm going to work through you. I think that's kind of cool. What does that mean? It means that there's not a time to have to wait until we feel ready. We'll never be ready. As long as we're willing, God will use us. But the word of God says that, will my people be willing in the day of my power? So if I want to be kind of in agreement with what God has said about me, I don't have to say I'm not ready yet, because God is going to say, I'm not waiting until you're ready. I'm waiting until you're willing. So I need to just change maybe what's coming out of my mouth. Oh God, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. It's God, mate, just use me now. Let's get ready on the journey. Let's get ready while we're getting some stuff done. Because I'm never going to be ready. Because your word doesn't say that. Your word says is no, just be willing. Well, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. Maybe the word of God is saying to us, something like this: if you open your mouth, God will fill it with something. So maybe in my own kind of prayer life, and maybe in ours, if we think, you know, chatting and sharing our faith with other people is difficult, God can deal with really easily, because he does impossible things. And as we begin to get into the word, we find something extraordinary happens. This word that went out in a tremendous prayer that we read about in the Bible in Genesis 1, this word took on the shape of a person. His name is Jesus. So to pray the word, it's not about, well, do I know all the Bible? No, but all the Bible knows us. It's not about, do I know enough about God? No, but God knows enough about us. It's like, well, I just haven't experienced everything there is. Well, God doesn't want us to experience it first. He wants us to believe it first. Well, you know, I prayed the word the other day. You know, I just don't read the Bible because it's not relevant today. That's bunkum. That's TV media. The word says about the word that it never changes. It's relevant yesterday, today, and forever. Let's not put our view and our culture and try and make the word fit, because it won't. We have to overlay the word of God so it changes us. That's how the word works. It's living and it's active, it says in Hebrews. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to make God's word fit my life. No, no, my life is being fitted for the word to be in it. Hallelujah. So man, you might look at your Bible and think, we only read the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament was the only bit to get us ready for the new. Well, I only read the New Testament, but you can't have the New Testament without the Old. No, the Bible says every part of Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for something. Oh, well, I just like these bits. Well, that's almost like saying I only like my leg. You know, in Seren's case, you know, two really blossoming, blooming, swollen ones. No, you can't just take bits out of the Bible that you like and forget the bits you don't. Because all of it is God-inspired. That's like saying to God, well, I like it when you say nice things, but when you say challenging things, I don't. Well, come on, we grow more in the challenge, I have found, than we do when it's easy. In fact, can I just suggest this? I mean, maybe it's just me. It's actually my faith in God tends to work more when I need to see a miracle than when I don't. But it needs to be true in both situations. How many of us got to dig into the Word of God when we know something's troubling? Well, we need to be diggers in the Word all the time. Because the Word is constant. It's trustworthy. The Word is the last word on everything. The Word is the last word over every person. Which is why, man, we're dangerous in this place. We believe in prayer. But how are we going to pray? We're not just going to pray our idea. We're not just going to pray our view. We don't just want to pray, you know, our whatever, our cultural thing. He's like, you know, God just wants to save this. And no. We want to pray the Word. What does God say about his intention over lives? And as we do that, we'll find that the clay begins to come in alignment with the potter, which is awesome. But other clay hears it too. Now, we knock together with lies every day. Every day there's a life that you touch in some way, whether it's indirectly or indirectly, somewhere you touch a life. But the Bible says we can pray for those lives. We can begin to speak over those lives so that God can use that creative power of his word to shape an opportunity. That's why I don't think we can just go out and share our testimony without going to God first. Which is why the Bible speaks to us about, like, well, go and pray. Go into your room. Go into your closet. Spend time with me. But then you've got to go and bring somebody else into the closet of your world and your life to communicate about the love of Jesus with them. And I just feel in my heart, we're going to be talking much more about this on the anniversary, which is going to be awesome. As Andrew said, it's going to be packed in here. We got some other pastors coming. We got other friends coming. Most of the full-time church staff and a lot of the volunteers are all coming. So it's going to be heaving in here. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! And just to follow up on the question, on the 23rd of October, which is the Thursday, we've been invited with many other congregations in Worthing to all meet down in the assembly rooms for an hour and a half to pray for this town. But what are we going to pray for this town? I hope the words of the Lord, God's thoughts, if you like, expressed in a verbal form. Now, I haven't made a massive amount about the 23rd, not because I don't like it. I'm going to be down there and a few of us are going down there. But actually, we have our prayer meeting here on the 22nd. So either go to both or go to both, if you can. Can I put it that way? Is that okay? So you and I need to be people who pray the word, which we understand as Christians, is that we have received the word as a person in the form of Jesus in our lives. So basically, what God is kind of challenging us with is, we've got to move a little bit from, I'm just a piece of clay, and I'm only attached to God because his hands are on me, into a place where the whole of God is involved in shaping us. He's totally committed to transforming our lives. He's totally dedicated to producing exactly what he wants us to be. Totally. I think that's an extraordinary dedication. He is totally, totally committed to changing our lives. But how's he going to do that? Because he prays the word over us. So we don't have to wonder too much. I wonder what it's going to look like. Because the Bible tells us what it's going to look like. They should be led forth with peace and joy. That's quite nice. In this world you will have trouble. I didn't see that coming. Well, God did. But don't worry, because your faith is going to allow you to overcome that. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? So God's seen the next step before we've even taken the last one. And as we begin to engage with the Word, Jesus, and as we were being encouraged last week, praying in tongues, it's a brilliant way to let the Word become part of our thinking. I am to believe that as a man thinks, so he becomes. I think it's just true. It's just a truism out there. If we think we're a duck and walk like a duck and paddle like a duck, then maybe we think we're a duck. But what God thinks is, actually, I think you're great. I think you're going to be a champion in this world. I think you're going to be a transformer of people's lives. I think you're going to be the light of the world. I think people are noticing me through you. I think you're the salt. When you come into people's lives, it changes the flavor of it. That's what God thinks. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. I think that's good. I'll sooner think what God thinks about me than what I think about me. But how do I know what to think, I hear you ask? Okay? I'll just imagine it. This is why we need to get into the Word. Because in Isaiah it says his thoughts are not the same as ours. They're a lot higher. But thankfully, God's written a lot of them down. So we know what God thinks about us because he tells us in the Bible. We know how God wants to use us because he tells us in the Bible. We know how much God loves us, not because we hear God say, I love you 2 million times a day, because he's already shown it. We know how God wants to anoint us or empower us. Why? Because he's already said so. We know the kinds of fruit that God wants us to have coming out behind our lives because he's already said so. It just makes it so much easier, doesn't it? It's like, God, I wonder what you think about me today. The same as he thought about us yesterday. That's why praying the Word is so important. We could go into some different scriptures, different stuff here and there, but I think you're kind of getting the point. First point is this. The Word of God is very creative. Everything changes when the Word is heard. Secondly, the Word became flesh. His name was Jesus. Walked around. And as a Christian, he now lives in us. If we're not a Christian here tonight, he can come and live in you tonight if you want him to. He'd love to. Man, it'd transform your life. Turn it upside down so it's the right way up, if I can put it that way. But as we go on, kind of following Jesus and being what's called a disciple, then God wants to use his Word, his written Word, so it just becomes part of our language. Doesn't mean that we go around quoting the Bible everywhere. It just goes around as people that just believe it and trust it all the time. Why is that? Because the Bible says this, out of the overflow of the man's heart, he speaks. Now your world, my world, is already full of words. Loads of them. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, the whole world works around words. Even just coming in the building, there's words on the notice board, there's words you can hear in reception, there's words that our awesome Connect team would have. The question is, which word are we going to believe in? Because it's the Word. Excellent. Good answer. Top of the class. Yes. As we believe God's Word and lay hold of it, the Word lays hold of us and changes us and transforms us. That's what the Word does. The Word says about itself that it's living and it's active. Jesus said about his own words that my words are spirit and they're life. So I'm so thankful that God's Word isn't far away. God's Word is not just a bit of what God does, but it's a massive part of who God is. That the Word of God is not just something that God thought, and he's kept it a secret, but he's translated these thoughts into black and white and red, if you've got a posh Bible, so that we know what God thinks. But then even more incredibly, and this I just can't get my head around, so I don't even bother now, just okay, thank you Jesus, is all of the Word of God, God has put into my life when I gave my life to Jesus. I think it's incredible. And as we were probably being reminded last week, is when I pray in the Spirit, the Word of God becomes more real. It just comes into my head. It comes into my heart. It was always there, but I just couldn't remember it, or I just didn't know it, or I just didn't know that I knew it. And as I pray in the Spirit reminds me of what Jesus said. You can come champions in whatever God wants you to be a champion in. If it's ice skating, Come on then.
Amen.
Torvin and Dean, eat your hearts out. So as it comes kind of the end of this bit, let's just finish with this thought. The substance is not the clay. The substance is in the hands of the potter. The substance is not the jar. The substance is in what the potter is speaking about the jar. The substance never changes. The word of God, it says in Hebrews 11, it's more real than the reality that we're living in today. Excellent. That the substance of God's word is more real, more unchangeable than the changeable world that we live in today. It's just a reality. That's what God says about his word. And as we just pray the word, read the word, because we need to read it, as well as pray in tongues, we need to read the word. I'm just going to challenge you with this. If you're kind of getting a bit dry on the inside, it's like, well, I always read, but God never speaks to me. Every time you open your Bible, God will speak to you, because it's his word. It says in John that even my sheep, who are pretty simple people like me, can hear the voice of the shepherd, because it's not the sheep that speak to the shepherd, it's the shepherd that speak to the sheep. All I need to do is listen. But as we just open the Bible, God will speak to us. As we hear what God is saying, faith will begin to connect with that and do something with it. As faith begins to connect with that and do something with it, then the words take on a form. Maybe over our households, maybe over our workplaces, maybe over things in the future. I have no idea. All I know is that God has a word concerning everything for life and godliness. So God's interested in us. And we want to live a reformed life, right? And being a reformed life means, good example, Smith Wigglesworth, who was a really dodgy plumber from Bradford, had an incredible ministry, very powerful. But he said this. He said many things, but he said this. I always read my Bible 15 minutes every quarter of an hour. That's what he said. He also said this. He was never more than a few seconds away from it. Which is why, and I had an opportunity to minister in one of the churches in Westcliff-on-Sea that he started years ago. And he used to sit at the top of the steps, coming from the beach where the fishermen used to come in, and he was about, I don't know, 150 metres up these steps. And apparently, you know, he probably did, he used to go up there at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. These fishermen had come in, they've been out all night, they've been doing whatever they do. And every single one that came past him, he said to them, are you ready to die yet? It's a great opening conversation. It wasn't like, you know, do you want shredded wheat or did you? He said, you're ready to die. And there were so many people gave their lives to Jesus at that step that they put a little bench there with his name on it. Why? Because he knew the words, not just for his own life, but for theirs. He knew the destiny and he prayed it and he confessed it and he agreed with it until he saw it as a reality in the world that he lived in. Powerful. God wants to use you and I, not just like that, but greater than that. Is that okay? Let's all stand up, Michelle. It's 5 to 7. Now's a good time to respond. In whatever way you need to. It might be, I have no idea. It might be that you just don't kind of get what the Bible's all about. Maybe you think it was something written as a history book. It's not. It's a life book. It's an instruction manual. Now, it's great to find out about the author so we can find out about ourselves in a new way. Maybe when you kind of read the Bible at the minute, it's like, I have no idea what God is saying. In which case, we just need God's help, because what God speaks, he clarifies. He helps us to understand. Maybe, for some of us, we've already kind of read the Bible a bit and God's been speaking to us a little bit, but maybe we just haven't done the last thing he said. I have no idea.
Faith,
exactly, but faith acts.
Yeah.
So maybe we just need to say, okay, Lord, I'm really sorry I haven't done the last thing you said. Please help me to do that, because you want to speak to me again. So let's just close our eyes together. It all goes dark. That's normal. Father, I just want to thank you that your word is alive. That you're speaking over the clay, the jars. You're not just messing around with lives. You're not just kind of shaping it, but you're speaking out the shape it's going to be. And as you're doing that, it shapes and fills. I want to thank you to every single person here tonight. Man, we're under the hand of God in some way. I want to thank you that it's not a hand of judgment or criticism. It's not a hand of punishment, but it's a hand of a loving God who has destiny and a future and a purpose in his heart and in his head for all of us. And I want to thank you too that it hasn't just remained within your own kind of world, but God, you've been speaking out your intention over our lives for millennia, for years and years and years. You've been speaking out about how we're loved and how we're valued in your sight and how you've just given everything to us that deserve nothing at all. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you help us mix faith with your word in a fresh way. That we don't just kind of know your word, but your word knows us. We don't just kind of speak your word because it sounds like a good thing to do, but man, we speak your words because it's the only words that we want and the only words that we have. And I thank you that your word is greater than any other word that's been spoken, uttered, published, produced, twittered, Facebooked. Every other word submits to the word of God. And I want to thank you that Jesus, you are the word. You've come to live in us. You've come to rule through us. You've come to speak on our behalf. We just thank you. We praise you. Let's just do this together, if that's okay. I do this in my own time at home. It's quite a simple thing. I have everything that Jesus says I have. I am everything that Jesus says I am. And I can do everything that Jesus says I can do. Now, I'm not saying that because it kind of sounds, well, that sounds nice. That's what God says about me. That's what the Bible says about you and about me. If you know Jesus, it's true for you. So just try that. Just try that simple, just kind of three phrase confession. I am everything Jesus says I am. Just speak it out. I have everything Jesus says I have. And I can do everything Jesus says I can do. Bit of clay just got shaped. Bit of jar just got tweaked a bit. I am everything Jesus says I am. I have everything Jesus says I have. And I can do everything Jesus says I can do. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, your word will become our word. The words that you've spoken will just capture our hearts and our minds afresh. That we would be shaped in our thinking and in our expectation by your word. And our lives would demonstrate that word made flesh, whether it's in work or at home or in church. That we would be the word today. Holy Spirit, we really, really need your help to do that. And we ask for that help right now. That you make that word real. You demonstrate it in our hearts and in our minds so that we can give you all the glory, Jesus, and give you all the honor. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.